So historical events are vessels. So the word itself is specific in its end, which is the salvation of the human race. So it provides the concrete basis for thinking in terms of process. So you need all the images in order to be able to grasp what is higher. So in that sense, the letter of the word or the historicals of the word form the foundation of the mind as the ground from which what is more interior can be made manifest, or what is hidden can be brought into the light. I mean, that's the function of the word as divine truth. It's so that what we can't see, because all our seeing is through the lens of proprium, which is constantly looking to protect itself. So everything in the word has a spiritual correspondence, and it's the spiritual correspondence that is primary. It's what matters. The historicals, you know, from a spiritual point of view, they're kind of irrelevant in one sense. As historicals, they're irrelevant, but as a basis for thinking spiritually, they are vital, because without them, we don't have a foundation to think from. And in particular with the Gospels, is that what's laid down, whether you accept it or not, is that God is a divine human. Like, you cannot escape that idea. You know, like, it's laid down very clearly. You can reject the idea, of course, but it's sort of something that now has found a grounding that can't be moved. So if you come back to that, there is a sense of self, which is a sense of agency, and that's all built around the concepts of rationality and freedom. And so the Lord provides that to everyone, and then the work is about, what are we going to do with that? And just gives you an example of process thinking versus historical thinking. If you think about what happens in the garden in Genesis, you know, the serpent in the garden, the temptation and the fall and all of that, even though it's not historical, most of us will think of that as an event in time, which is why we are where we are. Like, that's kind of something that pervades. But actually, when you think about it, it's about listening either to appearances and taking them to be true, or listening to the word and taking that to be true. And that is a moment-to-moment proposition. You know, the serpent is speaking or whispering its lies continually, but also the Lord's influx is coming continually as well. And the human mind is where those two things come together, in a sense, where you become subject to both influences, and the more conscious of that you become, then the more stark the choices become, because you get to see what proprium is versus what the word is offering, right? So in that sense, what plays out as an event in the garden is actually a description of what's happening moment to moment, on some level, at least. So proprium is needed for that. So the infernal proprium is not transformed, but your sense of self is shifted from what is infernal into what is heavenly, or you move from what is evil and false. Your sense of self moves out of the love of self and the love of the world being the dominant aspect to love to the Lord and love to the neighbor starting to take precedence. So think of the sense of self as something that shifts. So the infernal proprium is nothing but hell and all the spirits that are associated with that. And that's what gets judged and bound. And that's what the process brings about. In this context, it's described as the Egyptian army being destroyed in the Red Sea, which is hell. So the casting out of what no longer serves the end